If I were to ask you a mother from the Scriptures, who would you choose? Here's your chance. Ah, I hear Hannah. Yes, that's a very good one. But we're not going to cover her. But yeah, but that. Oh, I know. But Hannah's a marvelous story, isn't it? And did I hear someone say Ruth?
Yeah,
I heard someone say Ruth as well. Oh, Sarah. Oh, that would be a very interesting one to look at, wouldn't it? Yes. Sarah, the one who laughs at God, right? Yes, that's very interesting. Anybody else? Oh, Tamar. That would be interesting. Yes, yes. Tamar would be an interesting character. Eve would also. I'm surprised that didn't come up first, but Eve, yeah, that would be great as well. Maybe Mary or Martha. There's many, many more, right, that we could look at. And so as I was considering that and thinking about it, I'm saying, well, I thought a little bit more like that Tamar approach. And so I was looking at, I thought I would go to Joshua chapter 2. And it's interesting that Neil mentioned earlier that you had looked at Rahab. I think you had mentioned you had looked at Rahab a little bit. At women in the Bible, so perhaps some of these thoughts you've already looked at recently. I don't know. How long ago was that, brother?
End of last year.
Oh, you probably forgot about it anyway, so that's okay. So we come then, and we're going to look at Joshua chapter 2, and let's look at verse 1. And Joshua, son of Nun, sent from Shittim 2 spies secretly, saying, "Go see the land, even Jericho." And he went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lay down there. And you know, it's sort of like looking at Tamar, isn't it? It's like, okay, I wonder what the brother's going to say about this mother, Rahab. Because when we see Rahab in chapter 2, we could even go over to chapter 6, even after she, you know, where she gets saved. In chapter 6, we can read a verse there. We'll stay in Joshua a little bit. And let's see, Joshua, yeah, actually that's chapter 7, I want chapter 6. And we can go over there and it says, and this is verse 17. "And the city shall be accursed, it and all that is in it, Jehovah only, Rahab the harlot shall live." And there we have it again. And if I looked at Hebrews, keep your finger in Joshua. We'll just go over to Hebrews quickly. And you no doubt know the verse we're going to go to, chapter 11, over in verse 31. And we see there it says, "By faith, Rahab the harlot." And, of course, I could go over to the book of James, couldn't I? And in James chapter 2, it'll mention Rahab the harlot. And so now I've chosen Rahab to be the mother of distinction this morning. And you're wondering, where's this brother going to take this? But isn't it interesting that, you know, you have Rahab, and all she's mentioned as the harlot for the most part. And that reminds us, of course, the situation she had been in, right? How bad she had been. One who, of course, was loving all kinds of men, no doubt, right? But not really having true love. Never finding true love or true loyalty, did she? At least when she was there in her city of Jericho. And no doubt she knew many men and perhaps knew love in some small way, but not really knowing it. True love, true loyalty. And so she's known as the harlot, even in the New Testament. But God does wonderful things, doesn't he? Hasn't he done wonderful things with you as well? Amen. You, who all of us were in bondage to sin, did he not reach out to us as well? And take out of the bondage of sin and brought us into the marvelous light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we look at Rahab, we might consider some things we can learn from her. You might say, how is that possible? How could I learn something from Rahab, a harlot, and learn from her? Oh, it's not so much what we learned from her past. We were just as bad as she was. But you see, we're saved, aren't we? And so we have to see what God does as we look at Rahab. And I'm going to bring out, of course, we have to use that number 7, right? Because the number of completeness and that kind of thing.
And so I want to make 7 points regarding, or 7 attributes, we might say, 7 things we can learn from Rahab's life that would help us as believers, whether men or women. But we're going to see, of course, a beautiful picture of a woman here, and actually a mother, aren't we? Because she does become a mother, doesn't she? And so we want to take a look at that as well. So we look at, and so now as we look at chapter 2 in the book of Joshua, we'll see that the things are not written in chronological order, but written in such a way as like a little bit of a story. And so you see, they might write about Rahab and then say, well, this is how she got to that place, right? And that kind of thing. So in verses, Joshua chapter 2 and verse 10. For we have heard that Jehovah dried up the waters of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt. And what he did to the 2 kings of the Amorites that were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and to Og, when he utterly destroyed, whom he utterly destroyed. So the first thing we learn about Rahab, as she's there in Jericho, all this evil around her, all that's going on, and yet God speaks, doesn't he? Isn't that true for us as well? The question is, are we listening? And praise God, Rahab heard, didn't she? And she thought about it, evidently. And God still speaks today, doesn't he? We see the creation. He still speaks through creation, doesn't he? He speaks through his word, of course, and through his living word. And in many ways, he speaks. And it's marvelous to see how he speaks. And, of course, God then expects that man will listen, won't he? Or expects that, at least. Whether he will or not is another question. And how about us? We were once far away from him, weren't we? And yet our ears heard something, didn't we? At some point in life, we heard the gospel message in some way. He communicated to us, and it pricked our hearts. And we had to make a decision for Christ, didn't we? Can you imagine? Here's she in a very bad situation, in her sin, fornicating, trying to find love and loyalty, never finding it. And she hears what God has done in Egypt 40 years ago, right? Which we've talked about, because we've done the book of Joshua just recently, didn't we? And so there, we heard, she says. You notice it says we, I think it says we heard, didn't it? And you see, yeah, in verse 10, for we have heard. That means they all had heard, hadn't they, in Jericho. Yet, you see, how many got saved from Jericho? Not too many, did they? We don't know the exact number. But a number of people heard. And praise God, some listened. And so the first point I'd like to make is, as a woman, a wonderful woman that we learn from, is she listened. God, the woman listened. That's wonderful. And it's a picture of all believers, that we listened, of course. We see that. But now we go back to verse 9 of chapter 2. And let's see what it says there. We'll start in verse 8. And before they had lain down, she went up to them upon the roof and said to the men, I know that Jehovah has given you the land, and that the dread of you has fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Now it's not just that she heard, but that she knows. Something told her that she knows. Through what she listened to, whatever it was, she saw the amazing things that God had done in Egypt. And now to Sihon and Og over on the east side of the Jordan, and how God had done great things. And she said, I know. I've heard. And I know. Oh, what great lessons for us that we might know. And you see, here's a mother who knows. Of course, at this time, she may not be a mother. We don't know. We know that she's got a family. She's got parents and sisters and brothers and so on. We're mentioned here. We'll see in a moment. But we do know she becomes a mother, doesn't she? Oh, we shall look at that piece too, I think. And so we have hearing and knowing, how important it is for mothers and all believers today to hear and to know. But you see, not just to hear and to know, but do something about it. Verse 11, chapter 2. We heard of it, and our heart melted, and there remained no more spirit in any man because of you. For Jehovah your God, he is God in the heavens above,
and on the earth beneath. And now I pray you, swear to me by Jehovah, since I dealt kindly with you, that you will deal kindly with my father's house, and give me a certain sign. Here the portion, for Jehovah your God, he is God. Interesting, isn't it? She hears, and she knows, and she believes. Faith, right? The third key thing that this mother does, or that, you know, again, she may be a future mother, but this woman does, is basically shows faith. Believes by what she states. And so we recognize that before these spies get there, she already believes, doesn't she? It seems like she already believes. She already believed in God, it seems. As little as maybe as little as she understood. She maybe did. It's sort of like you when you came to know the Lord Jesus. You know, how much did you know about Jesus when you got to know Jesus? You may not have known an awful lot, did you? And today you've learned an awful lot, haven't you? If you're older in the Lord, you've learned many things that you never knew about when you first got saved, but you believed, didn't you? Amazing thing. And so now there's so much more we can learn about Him. And now, of course, we're learning some great things from her as well. And so the issue of faith, hearing, knowing, and faith. Oh, how important is that? That parents demonstrate faith. Because their children will look at it, won't they? And we, of course, have to see more about that as well as we go along toward the end of our thoughts here. But our time is brief, so I'm just trying to bring out seven key things that perhaps will encourage us as you think about mothers and about parenthood and so on in relation to this special day that many celebrate. And, of course, you may not be a mother. Perhaps you've never been. And that's okay, too, isn't it? Because, you see, these all apply to believers, don't they? That we can learn something, right? We don't have to be a mother to take the advice that is happening here. And so it's true for us men as well, isn't it, men? We have to listen once in a while, don't we? I wonder if you ever listen to your mother. How many times did you hear your mother, but you weren't really listening? You have stories for me, don't you? You see, it happens, don't you? Clean your room, right? You ever get that one? Yeah, whatever it might be, mom told you to do. And you heard it, didn't you? But you see, hearing in the scripture has a couple of different kinds of words, aren't there? In the Old Testament, they call it hearken. Remember hearken in the Old English? And the idea was not just to hear it, but to hear it and do it. Hearken, right? And you see, we can listen to mom, can't we? And when we didn't, and we would have heard, but then you got busy doing something else, and then you got in trouble, didn't you? Because mom would say, "You didn't listen to me, did you?" "Oh, yeah, I heard you." "Oh, no. You didn't listen." So, hearing, knowing, and believing, faith. Very important to demonstrate, of course, in our lives. And that gets us started, doesn't it? And so Rahab starts there. She is known as a harlot, and now she's making progress, isn't she? By knowing God. But now we come to a fourth thing. As a mother, in this special case of being a woman, perhaps she's not a mother yet, but in verse 13, she's talking to the spies, and she wants to get a sign, as we read there in verse 12 and verse 13, that you will let my father live and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that belong to them deliver our souls from death. It shows a bit of compassion, doesn't it? You see, the issue here is she desires to protect her family, doesn't she? Protection of the family. That's natural for a woman in many ways, maybe for parents in general. To protect our children, to desire to see the best for them, and so on. And so, her desire for her family is a marvelous lesson, isn't it? That she desires to protect them, you see. And when you get over to chapter 6, we won't go over there now for time's sake, but you go over to chapter 6, and of course, it's mentioned again, isn't it? And they saved what? Her mother and her father and her brethren, right? Sisters and brothers and so on. And they all got protected, didn't they? Here, she's not looking out just for herself, but to those she loves. Don't we do the same today? As those who are believers, that we look out for those we love.
And don't we, I think I did a little verse from the book of Joshua, or perhaps a little message from the book of Joshua when we first started it way back. I looked at the issue of the fact that we're in this together, aren't we? I think we talked about that whole idea of all and all and all, and how we're all in together. And we have to love one another, met the new law of Christ, that you love one another, as he says in the book of John. Our great truths, of course. And so we have here protecting those that she loves. And although children aren't mentioned there yet, we know, of course, we'll get to that. And so now we continue on, and we want to look at verse 14. And we'll see a fifth thing. And the men said to her, "Our lives will pay for yours if ye do not make this our business known. And it shall be when Jehovah shall give us a land, then we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Interesting. So now, think about this woman now, right? She's a harlot. No doubt not always honest. As you see, she was somewhat deceptive to the king, which is, we might say, okay, in this case, she got saved as a result. But you see, it's not a woman you normally would trust, would you? But you see, now there's a difference, isn't there? She knows God now. And she said to them, "You know what? Your God is, he's the one." And now they're trusting that, "You know what? I'll tell you what. We'll make a deal with you. If you do not make this our business known." It might have been easy for her to come along. And when the king sent some men to check her out or whatever, could have said, oh yes, they're upstairs, and get a great reward from the king, perhaps, right? But her life's changed, hasn't it? And so you see, she's a little bit different now. A godly woman not only protects her family and others that she loves, but then now you can see that she is faithful, isn't she? Sort of strange for a woman as a harlot, isn't it? Because a harlot, that'd be the opposite, wouldn't it? Normally a harlot would say, "Well, you know what, whatever a man comes along, perhaps," right, you say. But here now, she's being called upon to be faithful to her word. You make the business known. Bets are off, as we might say, in our idiom. But you see, they have, I think, sense that she'll be the one who would be faithful. You go on down to verse 18. "Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind in the window this line of scarlet thread by which thou hast let us down. And thou shalt gather to thee into thy house thy father, thy mother, thy brethren, all thy father's household, and it shall be," and so on, right? Gather them all together. Wasn't she faithful to that as well? And she was. A newborn, a believer in God. We don't know how long, but she certainly has seemed to come to know him. And now a couple of those who know that same God come along, and she's going to be faithful. I wonder how often she'd been faithful before. Perhaps not too often. But now, dealing with God? And how about us, brethren? Are we faithful? Are we, the fifth thing would be faithfulness. That now, almost immediately, she's going to have to demonstrate her faithfulness. One who has been perhaps unfaithful for a long, long time. And us, are we demonstrating our faithfulness? Mothers and fathers and so on. And those who love the Lord, believers, they're great lessons for all of us, aren't there? Faithfulness. Oh, how important that would be. Well, we need to move on. We've got only a few more minutes. We need to go look at chapter 2, and we'll go over to verse 2. And now we'll see a couple of things here. This is where the king comes now, and you see she does something. "And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, men have come hither tonight from the children of Israel to search out the land. And the king of Jericho sent Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that have come to thee, who have come into thy house, for they have come to search out all the land.
and the woman had taken and concealed the two men. And he said, yes, the men did come unto me, but I knew not whence they were. And it came to pass when the gate had to be closed at dark that the men went out. I know not whither the men have gone. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them. But she had taken them up to the roof and secreted them under the stalks of flax, which she had laid out on the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan, to the fords. And when they who pursued after them had gone out, they closed the gate. And before they had lain down, she went up to them upon the roof. Very interesting, isn't it? So now you see something else happening here. That is, you get the sense now that she's done this, but it's based on what? Well, based on her faith, isn't it? Why bother doing it unless you believe in their God? But you see, that's important, isn't it? That's part of her being faithful. But here, I'm bringing out the point that now she's demonstrating her faith, isn't she? She's helping. You want to call it helping or demonstrating, whatever you want. Remember the same thing with the thread in the window, right? She does it right away, doesn't she? Puts it right up there. And so she's willing to help. Though she knew nothing about it before, but evidently now is willing to help. It could cost her her life, couldn't it? It's possible she might die as a result of the king finding out or whatever down the road. Well, we don't know, but she believes in God. And she's willing to help. I wonder, don't we recognize the wonders of how mothers help? Always helping the children, helping their husbands too, right? They keep us straight sometimes, don't they? And you may not have like I said, you may not be married and have a wife or whatever, men. But you see how marvelous it is believers to help. That once we become believers, don't we want to be a part and help one another along the way, as we said before? Getting everyone to the end of the road, as we might say, the inheritance. Getting us all there. There's this idea of helping one another now. A great lesson. And to learn it from Rahab, the one who, of course, in the past, you would never have thought such a thing. She'd be looking out for self, wouldn't she? Love and loyalty that she wanted. Pleasure, whatever it might be. And now she's not so much worried about herself, but worried about, well, her family and helping others. Oh, what a change in life we had, didn't we? We got to know Christ. There was a change, wasn't there? And then we come over and you see, we learn a few other things here. We go over to the book of Ruth, and we have one more key thing we want to look at. And so we'll go past Judges, and this is in the time of the Judges, of course, the book of Ruth we've looked at before. And so we go over to the book of Ruth, chapter 4, and verse 18. Now these are the generations of Phares, and Phares begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram, and Ram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. And you might look at that and say, well, that's very nice. What does that have to do with this? Well, we, of course, have to go to the book of Matthew, which no doubt is where you've got your other women from that you've been studying it over time. So let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. And in Matthew chapter 1, you'll see there, verse 2, Abram begets Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah. And so we know that this is the line, right, Judah. And Judah begot his brethren. Judah begot Perez and Terah of Tamar. There's Tamar, right? Someone mentioned Tamar. And Perez begot Ezron, and Ezron begot Aram, and Aram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. So Salmon's a pretty high up figure there in the line. And Salmon begot Boaz of Rahab. Interesting. It's sort of interesting because now you're thinking, well, she was a mother, wasn't she? And so the idea now, she's going to bring up a child. We don't know if she had children before. Perhaps she did, but we don't see it recorded.
Those other references seem to be to brothers and sisters or others that were theirs. But now here's a woman who's going to be in the Lord's line. Wow. God is different, isn't he? Unique the way he operates sometimes. And we have a child, Boaz, born. And so now we would say that this Rahab, of course, is the one that's in the Old Testament. That is the Rahab, right? I think is the idea. Now, some argue against it because of the timing or whatever. Well, I feel pretty confident that this is the one. That Boaz is born. And now, can we learn a little something about Rahab, I wonder, from Boaz? That's the sort of last thought I wanted to say, the point I wanted to bring out. The idea that now we see in Boaz maybe some attributes, maybe he picked up from mom and dad, right? Maybe. Now we know our children sometimes go astray, and perhaps some of our children already have, or grandchildren, whatever. But how we bring them up is important, isn't it? What we do is important. How we live our lives before our children. And no doubt, Boaz got a great deal from his mother and father, Salmon and Rahab, excuse me. And so those two become very important to Boaz's life, it seems. And so too, our parents, aren't they? Some of you remember your parents, and some are with the Lord now. And my mom went to be the Lord a few years ago at 90. Barbara's father is still living, 97. And so parents can have an influence, whether good or bad, right? Whether they're, if they're unbelievers, sometimes it can be the other way around, right? Not so good sometimes. But if they're believers, we could then analyze Boaz for the next couple of hours. How about if we do that? No, I know you're anxious to get on with things. You might have a Mother's Day lunch or something. I don't know. Well, you see, Boaz becomes a great study, doesn't he? You look at the book of Ruth. We did an overview, of course. We didn't go look at the details of Boaz. But you can do a study on Boaz and see some of what he does and how he behaves and how he interacts with people and how he interacts with women. Ruth. We can learn some perhaps great things of the change in life that Ruth underwent. I mean, that Rahab underwent. When she come to know Israel's God. And think about what happened, you know, when she does this and she goes and she gets saved in chapter 6 of Joshua. She gets saved. You notice it says that she was with Israel from that until that day. That is, she never went back. That's important, isn't it? Mother getting saved and never goes back to what she once had. And brethren, what a great lesson for us that we not go back to the world where we came from. All we're in the world, of course, we understand that. And so we have then the importance of hearing, knowing, believing or faith, protecting, faithful, helping, and raising children. Passing on to others what we are learning about God. Can you imagine going from being a harlot to a mother and having no love and no loyalty, or looking for it, never finding it, but now in Salmon finding, of course, love and loyalty. And how about us? From a world that, you know, we look for this and that, love and loyalty in the world when we are unsaved. And we found true love and loyalty in Christ, didn't we? Great truths. And so I hope these thoughts will help you this day as you go forth, and some of you celebrate Mother's Day and whatever. Oh, maybe this is true of all believers, but certainly we see the connection now that Rahab, as one, a woman who once was so far astray, now loved the Lord and raised a child named Boaz. What a difference God can make in our lives, can't he? And our Lord Jesus makes a great difference in our lives. May we demonstrate that fact. May we remain faithful. May we be those who go forward, sharing how God has done great things for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time to be together. And we pray you might bless these thoughts to us from thy word. We thank you for the women that you brought into the line of our Lord Jesus. Amazing how you worked. But these women, of course, that were so far astray, you used for your own glory. We pray that we might be those, in a sense, like Rahab, brought out of bondage, where we're looking for love and loyalty in all in the wrong places. And now we've come to Christ, and we have found true love and loyalty, faithfulness. May we demonstrate the same in our lives. We give you thanks now in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.